Title, Stretch Old School DNB Sub from Scratch in Ableton Live 12 Intermediate. Alright, let's build one of the most slept on parts of classic jungle and early drum and bass, that stretched, sliding sub that feels like it's pulling itself into the next note. And the key thing to understand up front is this. In old school DNB, the sub isn't just a sine wave holding a note. It moves, it leans, it drags into the next hit in a really intentional way. That stretch comes mainly from glide, note overlap, micro timing, and note length choices, not from crazy modulation. By the end, you'll have a clean, weighty 90s-style sub that glides between notes, sits under a two-bar drum groove, stays mono and still translates on smaller speakers, because we'll add controlled harmonics the right way. Let's go. First, set up the session so you're working in real DNB context. Put your tempo at 170 to 174 BPM. I like 172 as a sweet spot, so go with 172. Now make two tracks, one auto track for your drums, a break, a loop, or a drum rack pattern. Keep it simple for now. Kick on 1, snare on 2 and 4. If you want hats, add them, but don't overcomplicate it yet. You want space to hear the bass groove choices. Then make one MIDI track for the sub. The goal in this lesson is that the bass answers the kick and leans into the spaces around the snare. You're not trying to fight the snare. You're trying to make the snare feel even bigger because the bass is behaving. Now let's build the sub instrument. On your MIDI track, load operator. We're going classic and clean. In operator, choose an algorithm that's just oscillator A. No FM today. Set oscillator A to a sine wave. Leave the level at 0 dB for now. We'll gain stage later. Now shape the amp envelope, because old school subs are usually note shaped. They're not just infinite organ notes. Set attack to basically 0. But not necessarily absolute zero. Somewhere like 0 to 3 milliseconds is perfect. Decay can live anywhere around 300 to 900 milliseconds depending on how long your notes are going to be. If you're doing a lot of short notes, you can keep it shorter. If you're doing held notes, a bit longer is fine. For sustain, you've got a stylistic choice. If you want pure plucks, pull sustain all the way down so it's basically off. If you want the note to hold a bit, set sustain around minus 6 to minus 12 dB. That gives you weight without turning everything into a flat line. Release. Give it a little tail, like 60 to 120 milliseconds. This is huge for avoiding clicks and keeping the sub tight. Cool. Right now, you've got a solid sine sub, but it's not stretched yet. Let's add the magic. In operator, enable glide, also called portamento. Set the glide time somewhere around 80 to 140 milliseconds to start. I'll suggest 110 milliseconds as a very usable middle ground. If you have a legato option, use the setting where the glide only happens when notes overlap. That's the behavior we want. Now here's the Riedel rule that makes this whole technique work. Overlap equals glide. No overlap equals separate notes. So we're going to write a two-bar MIDI pattern where we choose exactly which moments stretch. By choosing exactly which notes overlap, create a two-bar MIDI clip. Pick a key that works well for subs on systems. F and G are classics. Let's say F, and we'll keep the note choices DNB safe, mostly root and fifth. So for F, that's F and C. Start with a long F note near the beginning of bar 1. That's your anchor. That's the note that tells the listener, this is the home base. Then add a quick C, and then back to F. But here's the move. Make the C overlap into the F by just a tiny amount. Start with 20 to 40 milliseconds of overlap. Zoom in if you need to. When that overlap happens, you'll hear the pitch pull instead of jump. In bar 2, do a variation that gives tension. A classic move is a downstep like E before returning to F. But keep that E short. Think of it like a quick taste of spice, not a new chord. And again, if you want that pull, overlap the notes where you want the stretch to happen. You don't need glide everywhere. In fast DNB, constant glide can make the low end lose its footing. Strategic slides hit harder. Now let's talk groove. Because even with the right notes, the feel can be wrong if everything is perfectly on the grid. Here's your coaching rule. Decide what you're anchoring against the drums. Usually, your downbeat sub note is locked to the kick. Keep that one dead on the grid. That's your reference point. Then your responses, the offbeats and pickups, can be nudged. Go into the MIDI clip and pick a couple offbeat notes. Nudge them later by 5 to 15 milliseconds. Not a full 16th note, just a little human drag. You'll notice something immediately. The bass starts to feel like it's rolling, not marching. Now open the groove pool. Pick an MPC-style swing or a shuffled 16th groove. Apply it lightly, like 10 to 25% amount. And for subs, I want you to focus on timing, not velocity. Heavy velocity changes on sub can feel unstable, because loudness changes down there can read like your whole track is wobbling. Now we've got movement and groove, but a pure sign can disappear on smaller speakers. So let's add harmonics in a controlled way. Drop saturator right after operator. Pick a mode like soft sign or analog clip. Either works. Drive. Start at 2 dB and work up. Somewhere between 2 and 6 dB is usually enough. Turn on soft clip. Now, super important, level match. Use the output control so you're not tricked into thinking louder means better. We want tone, not just volume. After saturator, at EQ8, put a high pass filter at around 20 to 30 Hz. You're not removing the sub, you're removing useless rumble that steals headroom. If it's boomy, you might gently dip somewhere around 60 to 90 Hz depending on your key and your kick. Keep it subtle. And if the saturation brought up too much grind, you can gently roll down above maybe 200 to 400 Hz. The goal is definition, not mid-bass. Quick mental target. You want the feel in the 40 to 60 zone, and the readability around 100 to 200, without turning it into a bass synth that argues with your snare. Now let's lock it to the drums with sidechain, the right way. Add glue compressor after EQ8. Turn on sidechain. Select your kick as the input. If your drums are all on one track, you can sidechain from that, but kick only is often cleaner. Set ratio to 4 to 1. Attack, 1 to 3 milliseconds. Fast enough to make room for the transient. Release. Auto is often perfect in TDNB. If you go manual, aim around 80 to 150 milliseconds. Now bring the threshold down until you see about 2 to 5 dB of gain reduction on the kick hits. If the track feels like it's pumping too rhythmically, lengthen release. If the kick feels like it's getting swallowed, shorten release a bit or reduce the amount. And here's another teacher move. You can also make room with note length, not just sidechain. If you've got a bass note that runs into the snare, shorten it by 20 to 50 milliseconds just before the snare. That little pocket of silence makes the snare crack feel louder without turning your sidechain into a special effect. Now we do the non-negotiable step. Mono discipline. Put utility last on the chain. Set width to 0%, full mono. Then set the gain so you've got headroom. Don't be afraid to turn the sub down. In DNB, a clean low end often sounds bigger than a loud messy one. Optional, if your notes are uneven, you can add a gentle compressor before utility. Ratio 2 to 1. Attack 10 to 30 ms, release 80 to 150 ms, and only 1 to 3 dB of reduction. We're not trying to squash it, just tame it. Now let's do two quick pro-level checks and upgrades. First, glide is a transition tool, not a constant effect. Listen through your two-bar loop and pick one or two moments per phrase where the slide is the feature. Often that's leading into a new bar or into a turnaround note at the end of bar two. If everything is sliding, it can feel like your bass has no shoes on. You want grip and then a few elastic moments. Second, glide time interacts with interval size. A glide that feels perfect from F to C might feel too slow from F to F an octave up, or from F to E, that minor second grind. So if you make bigger jumps, either shorten glide time slightly, or reduce overlap, so the slide catches briefly instead of smearing the whole move. Third, quick phase sanity check with a kick. Solo kick and sub together. On the sub track, toggle utilities phase invert. Keep whichever setting gives you more consistent punch around the kick and sub crossover area, often somewhere like 45 to 90 Hz depending on your tuning. This is a fast way to avoid chasing EQ for half an hour. Now, if you want an advanced vibe that still stays old school, ghost slides. Here's how. Add a tiny note right before a destination note, like 1/32 to 1/16 early, and make it super short, like 10 to 40 milliseconds. The point is not to hear a new note. It's just there to trigger legato overlap and pull the pitch. This is how you can get that elastic movement without cluttering the rhythm. Another arrangement trick. Two-lane sub. Make one clip that's the hold lane. Long roots. Minimal overlaps. Duplicate it and make a runner lane. Busier offbeats. A few slides. Then alternate every 4 or 8 bars. Old school low end often feels huge because the density changes, not because the sound gets brighter. Now let's lock in a quick practice exercise so you actually internalize the technique. Take your operator sub and make 3 two-bar clips. Clip A. No overlaps at all. Same notes. No overlaps. That's your baseline. Clip B. Only 2 overlaps per 2 bars. Tasteful. Strategic stretch. Clip C. Overlap almost everything so it's exaggerated. Now freeze and flatten each one, or just bounce them to audio. A slash B them under the same drum loop. Ask yourself, which one rolls best? Which one keeps the kick feeling sharp? Which one feels like it has movement without losing stability? Ick the best. And then every 8 bars, do one small change only. Either add a passing note like ebb, before returning to F, or a quick octave stab, or shorten a note near the snare to open pocket space. Before we wrap, a few common mistakes to avoid. If you don't overlap notes, you won't get glide. Period. If your glide time is too long, like 300 milliseconds or more, it'll smear in fast DNB and sound sloppy. Too much saturation turns your sub into a muddy mid-bass, and it'll start fighting the snare. Stereo sub equals phase problems and weak translation. And if you overswing the sub, the whole track can feel late and unstable. Micro timing beats heavy swing every time down there. Let's recap the core formula. Operator sign sub, shaped with a tight envelope, glide around 80 to 140 milliseconds. Intentional note overlap to decide where the stretch happens. Micro timing for roll, not chaos. Saturator for translation, EQ for cleanup, glue compressor sidechain for kick space, and utility width at 0 for mono. If you tell me what lane you're aiming for, like classic Dylania style weight, early moving shadow roll, or a modern minimal roller, I can suggest a specific 2-bar MIDI pattern and a glide time that nails that exact feel.